Wednesday, Bay Sivan. Chodesh Haldovas, Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Women's Shir.
Okay, so we'll start from... I need an English. You know, you have an English? We'll start from the words Al-Kain Al-Katridcha. Okay, on page 484, the second paragraph, new paragraph. So he talked about how he's your enemy and what he wants to do. The Yetzer Hara wants to share Yichud HaMaisa, Parakei, and how he wants to ensnare you. Al Kain, therefore. You should realize how serious a battle this is, you know, and the Chayes HaLovas doesn't say it explicitly, but he now will tell, you know, we get caught up in everyday life, as was said when we started the class. So we get caught up in pettiness, and we get caught up in other battles that are, you know, petty. And we get caught up in things that worry us, and that take up our time and our energy and our focus, and the battle with the Yetzer Hara is something far, far more important and lasting, and you know, than anything else you're involved in. And therefore, he says, "Al Kain," knowing that, you know, again, the Iker by the Chavis Halvavas is that you think about the things he's saying, and that's a theme throughout the whole Sefer, from the first Hakdama, from the beginning of the Hakdama, all the way throughout the whole Sefer, is he wants you to think, which is a big Kiddush nowadays, and people who think more than 3 minutes, they say, "Rov, it's giving me a headache. I can't think anymore." So, I was lucky enough to have a Rosh Hashiva who would be immersed in concentration for hours on end. He would walk. He would walk back and forth. He would walk on roads on Ocean Parkway when he was in Brooklyn, on Viola Road in Muncie. He would just walk and walk, and he was immersed in concentration, and he really taught us. He actually taught us how to concentrate. I remember to this day, he gave us lessons, not us, privately, whoever was interested, he would, it's a chokhmah, how do you concentrate? How do you focus? How do you lose yourself and just really just think about something? So Hashem was very kind to me, and I had him for Shashiva, and I don't know if I think, but maybe I'm worse off than everyone else. I know how, and I don't do it. So that's always the downside. Anyway, he says, "Thou came therefore al tatridcha milchemezuloso mi milchamto." He's still talking poetically. Don't let other milchamo sidetrack you. The milchamo for parnosa, the milchamo of the rat race, the milchamo of being too busy and making enough time in the day. So don't get totally immersed or even partially immersed in those milchamas to the exclusion of your main milchama. The karev, it's another word for milchama, bilti, krovo probably. The hacherev, and battling with the sword, very poetic. And mishu rochok mimcha, you're fighting off enemies, whether they're imaginary enemies, phantom enemies, they're far away, maybe Tomer, Ulai, Efshar, and we're busy covering that base, we think, and that's what we're busy with, and that distracts us. The Yetzer Hara is part of you. It's not maybe, it's not Ulai, it's not something that may happen if a series of events happen, so what's going to be? But he's with you, as the Chavis HaLovas explained till now very well. Don't get distracted with all these things. Udchos mi shelo yagia elecha ki im birshus. Don't be busy pushing away something which anyway can't touch you unless you acknowledge it and let it in. Whether it's a friend or a circumstance, you know, you could always, maybe you could remove yourself from the situation and you won't have to worry about it. But the Yetzer Hara, midchos, don't be busy escaping and pushing away issues and problems which you could just perhaps walk away from, and forgetting about midchos, from pushing away, Misha Eino Shol Rishus Pi Matzi Yom Chalei Yetzer Hara doesn't ask you Rishus. He takes up residency, doesn't even pay rent, chutzpah. And he takes up residency without asking your permission. And he's this is what people are busy with, and they're battling battles the whole day. A, that are petty and ephemeral, they're very temporary. B, there's something that's rachok, and who cares, just ignore it. And it's something that you have to let in. Who says it'll affect you? And the Yetzer Hara is there in you. And it's the most important battle of your life. And he ain't asking you rishus. He's there. And it's not some efshorus down the road, but he's right here now in your life. So that's what you should concern yourself with the most. He doesn't mean, and he doesn't say, to forget everything else, but you know, just like if we've battled to get supper on time and it's a major issue, but then all of a sudden we have to go to the emergency room, which happens like every other day or something like that. And so all of a sudden you don't care anymore about supper. Like it becomes irrelevant. You'll leave a peanut butter and the knife and a piece of bread. And you'll say, you leave a hastily written note, make your own suppers. I got to go to the emergency room. You know, turned out to be nothing. I didn't say anything bad. Mrs. Zabrowski's not here. She always yells at me if I say anything bad. So nothing happened in my story. You just got scared. The doctor said, go home. It's nothing. You had to wait 4.5 hours. That I can't help. So we know what it means when something looms so large and it looks like the most important thing in your life, and then a minute later it just retreats into total insignificance when something really important comes up. But then you find out that your boss wants to talk to you because the company's downsizing. So all of a sudden you forget about, right? And that becomes uppermost in your mind. V'chahena v'chahena. So the Chavim Lovis is just saying, hey, if people would realize and think about what the battle with the Yetzer Hara is and how it's nogea their eternity and it's nogea who they are and what they are, and it's nogea everything and it touches upon everything, so they would give it the proper proportion. Not that it's the last thing, maybe on Erev Yom Kippur, maybe in Shemona Esrei, when I'm doing Al Chait, maybe we'll have a fleeting thought of, no, this is a constant battle and it should be uppermost in our mind. So you say, here we go again, Chavis Alvavis, so I'll say the same thing that I've said countless times. It sounds extreme, and maybe it is extreme, but it's extreme to us, or to me, sitting here right now. And it's a lifetime of work. So you have time. You don't have to assume. You know, you can assume everyone here will live a good couple of scores of years, amidst Hashem, a good couple of decades. And so if you have a game plan and the graph is going up, you can't ignore, because it says, Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misascha, and the Talmidim asked him, we don't know when Yom Misa is. And the Rebbe answered the Talmidim, that's exactly my point. So every day you do tshuva. So we're not holding there, but at least we can be holding by having a game plan that the graph should be an upward graph. It's moving up. Even if it's slow, you have time to get to the Chavis Halvavis' ideal. That's my answer number one. And my answer number two is even if you feel this way 1 minute a week, it's a terrific achievement, And maybe in a couple of months you'll feel like that 2 minutes a week. And, you know, it, right now it's a foreign feeling, because the Yetzer Hara is not, yeah, what? Yeah. You don't feel that's your most pressing battle. My most pressing battle is parnasa, or relationships, or getting by, or, you know, making supper. That's my most pressing battle. So, you know, it's not your most pressing battle. It might be your most, it might seem to be your most immediate battle, but again, just think of my marshal. If you gotta go to the emergency room, supper becomes out the window. And if your boss wants to fire you, everything out the window. All of a sudden, your problem with your neighbor becomes like, who cares? I have much bigger issues now. So the Torah should be the biggest issue in your life. Okay, and now he tells what is a famous story, and if you never heard of it, so in another couple of seconds it'll become even more famous. And there's a story, apocryphal stories. The Chavis Halavis is full of stories that didn't happen. It's just, it's a story. But it's always like a deep message, and some of them have become very famous. I believe this next story has become very famous. The Amru al Chosid Shepoga Noshim Shavim in Melchemes Oyevim, that he sees a victorious army returning from battle, v'shalulu shalol, and they captured a lot of booty, acher milchama chazaka. Amalahem shaftem in amalchama haktana. This is, you know, you came back from a baby war. Shalulim shalol. Okay, you know, it's very nice, I applaud you, it's wonderful, but the big milchama is still to come. His adatu, be ready, that's from the word osid, the future. His adatu, the milchama hagadola. Amalo, my milchama hagadola, you know, we're coming back from World War II. We're coming back from Vietnam. We're coming back from Afghanistan. We're coming back from Jordan. We're coming back from Syria. We're coming back from Iran, maybe, Mitzvah Hashem. But he says, but you got to prepare for the big war. Amalahem, what's the big war? What are you talking about? I didn't hear any United Nations resolutions. Amalahem, Melchemes Hayetzer, V'chayolov. That's what he answered them. Because, of course, to battle yourself and to wage war with your nature and with tithes and with convenience and with selfishness and with laziness and with self-righteousness, all these things, that's the major war a person's in. And that's why that book that I keep recommending is called Battle Plans. It's all shame this story that you're doing battle and you're going to war, and that's the big war. But in the context of what we're learning now, it's a wonderful story, but in the context of what we're learning, it is a continuation of his point that we should stop solving every problem in the world and our own problems and other people's problems, and meanwhile Ruchnius sort of falls by the wayside, and you go, okay, I'll get by. And meanwhile the Yetzer Hara has us in his clutches. How does he have it in his clutches? We're going to learn. We didn't start the parak yet. We're still in boot camp, getting ready, jogging around the, you know, jogging for 5 miles at 4 a.m. to get us ready. But he's going to tell us the battle. He's going to give tens of examples of what the Yetzer Hara, how he tries to entrap you. And then he says, this is a drop in the bucket. This is nothing. It's every day. It's every time he can. He worms his way in. Even if you're doing a good deed. So he tries to let people know about it. Kavod. Tell people about it. Let them look at you like a fine person. So that's it. He's getting you ready. Now he makes another point. Umin Hatema Achi, still following, this is a war. And he says, I want to tell you something. Besides everything I just said, that he's Karov, and other things you're busy with the whole day is Rachok, and other things is without your Rishus, it wouldn't enter your world. You're busy with other people's problems, or even with your own, but you can just push it off. And here, he doesn't ask you Rishus, and so on and so forth. Now he makes another point. And really, in this next point, I think we should learn from the Yetzer Hara already. We should learn and, you know, try to use what the Yetzer Hara, how... the nature of the Yetzer Hara, as the Chavis Halavos describes it in his next point, we have a lot what to learn from it. And that is that he doesn't give up. He doesn't care how many times you defeat him. He'll be back. He'll be back tomorrow. He'll be back in a minute. And right, we have the rule even that the Gemara says, which sounds so weird, Kalai Gadol Mechaveiro Yitzro Gadol Heimenu, which sounds weird, but we explain, because as you grow, you get closer and closer to Hashem, and your avodas Hashem becomes more and more, ironically, difficult, because it gets more and more subtle, and it takes more and more purity, and more concentration, and you can't get by anymore with just thinking about what the words mean in Shemona Esrei, Halavai, we should do that. That's going to be a lifetime of work for me, not you, but for me, yes. And, you know, that's baby stuff, that's kid stuff, to know what the words mean. You have to do what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you may not take yourself from Olam HaZeh, and you're standing in front of Hashem, and you meditate, and you reach a Madrega close to Nevuah. That's like, that's what it says. It says this in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say it in Zohar, it doesn't say it in Kislev Rav Shimon ben Yochai, or Kislev Baal Shem Tov, or not even in Kislev of Nachman Mibreslov. It says it in Shulchan Aruch. It says in the Shulchan Aruch. You have to concentrate Dalef Neimiyata Omeid and reach a meditative spiritual state where you're just, you feel close to Hashem. You feel like you're standing in Hashem's presence and you're talking to Him. Now, and in that state, you have to ask Hashem to give you parnasa. So that's hard. But remember, you're not asking for yourself. You're pleading for Klal Yisrael. We wish we had kavana for our own problems. As I said, you know, oh, I reached the Madrega. I finally have kavana in the whole Shemona Esrei. I'm throwing a party, a siyum. And then you got to go to the next level. The next level is, wait a second. Do you realize that the whole Shemona Esrei is Lashon Rabbim? And you're not even talking about yourself? You're talking about the whole Klal Yisrael? That they need parnasa, that they need refuah, that they need a yeshua, and you're talking b'lashon rabim, and you're part of them too. But haven't you been only thinking about yourself? So that, oh no, you got to go back to square one. You got to go back to square one. And this is all for Perish Hamilos, because it's Perish Hamilos, it's lashon rabim. It is in the Perish Hamilos, right? And we could struggle for years, just to get kavanah shmona esrei. When we could think about ourselves, and someone tells you, okay. Yep. So, he says, the Yetzer Hara doesn't give up. That's every enemy, remember he said he's your worst enemy, think of the worst enemy. The worst enemy, that's Kayach for Klal Yisrael, for yourself, and he's worse. So now he's giving an example of that. First of all, we shouldn't need examples. If he's trying to be Menatekos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and keep us from Olam Haba, and spoil our Chelek Eloka Mimal Neshama, that's bad enough. But now he makes a point about his persistence. And he says, any enemy you have, you know, if you beat him in battle, once, twice, three times, he gives up, you know, he goes away. Maybe he'll come back in 10 years. But right now, he'll stop fighting. You've bought yourself breathing space for a couple of years. Once, twice. So he'll leave you alone. You have some breathing space. Right, he'll just get beaten down again. Because he's aware of Yisroel Kochacho al Kocho. So maybe he'll go back and change strategies, which is what the Arabs did. They changed strategies. Or he'll come back in 10 years after he rearms, like Germany did, after two decades. But right now, but in this matzav, he has given up from beating you. But the Yetzirah ain't maspik lo mimcha nitzuach. He doesn't care. He's not maspik. It's not enough for him if he beat you, pam, umeya pamim. It doesn't matter, he doesn't care about the results of one battle or of 100 battles. Mention it Soach Oschar, he doesn't rest because he beat you, so now he can go on vacation because he won. Or Benchin it's Chaso, or if you beat him and you showed you're stronger than him, he doesn't, there's no vacation time. He never gives up. He keeps going, tries again. If you're beating him, he tries from another angle. Maybe Atzlus doesn't work, he tries Gaiva. Maybe Gaiva doesn't work, he tries other things, Taiva. Maybe Taiva and Gaiva doesn't work, so he tries a different combination of the above. Maybe he makes you feel that you've already licked him, so you let your guard down. He's full of strategies, and he doesn't stop. He doesn't give up. He doesn't care if he, and he doesn't care if he beat you 100 times. It's not a, he doesn't go on vacation after he won. He comes back at you the next day. He wants another Nitzachon. And that's, you know, we would do well to learn from him. But it's part of the how intense an enemy he is. Once he beats you, so he'll try to take it another step, right? You're, okay, you know, a little thing. He's going to talk about this in a few moments. He says, no. Once he has a foot in the door, he goes for it. Keeps coming. Like the Energizer Bunny. And if you beat him, he doesn't care. He'll keep at it, trying to attack you, but he'll maybe make an ambush. He sees he's not stronger than you, so he doesn't give up. He just tries a different strategy. And he comes back at you with an ambush, or saying you did a mitzvah, and you overcame your trait of laziness, so now maybe he'll try gaiva. Or he'll try to get you to do he'll try to get you to do too much. Oh, wow, now I'm ready to daven 3 times a day, because I had kavana once in Shemona Esrei, and he knows it's too much for you, and that's a Yetzer Hara talking. Chavis Havoda says in Shara Avodas Elokim, he gave a beautiful mashal with a ladder. He says, don't skip a step in the ladder. You remember we learned that Sunday nights. Don't skip a step in the ladder. If you skip a step in the ladder, you're going to fall. You're going to try to do too much, right? You're going to skip a rung and be sure of yourself. The rungs are there for reasons. And he's describing what he described in Shara Avodas Elokim, what the rungs are. But whatever your personal rungs are, don't try to skip a step. It will be very dangerous. Anyway, that's also could be the Yetzer Hara. So you don't even know who's talking now. You're completely confused. Yerav l'cha kol yomechal anatzeach osra k'mo shomer rav zeno zirochem levracha. And that's, you know, Chazal said it. Al pamin ba'atzbcha ad yom oscha. Just taking no rest. I'm sorry. You can deny reality if you want. You could curl up in the fetal position and hide under the bed. But it's not going to do you any good. This is the reality that Hashem made the world. And I'm afraid we're not going to get to the part where he says, but relax. Don't worry after he made us crazy with how impossible it is. But so we'll see. The Eino Mekel, and we would do well to learn from the Yetzer Hara. He doesn't give up, not even if he wins. He doesn't stop fighting if he wins. That's a remarkable insight. He doesn't give up if he wins, and he doesn't stop if he wins. He doesn't give up if he loses, no matter how many times he loses. The Eino Mekel b'ketanos shebektanos in yonecha lenatzeach oscha ba. We would do very well to learn from this. He doesn't care how small a step it is that you're moving away from Hashem. He has patience. He has time. He knows that once you're moving in a certain direction, he'll get you more and more. So he doesn't care how small a step it is. If he can get you to intentionally sort of not make a bracha achrona because you're in a rush, not that big a deal, you know. It's not. It's fucking not. But what he has now is nothing's too small for him. There's no victory too small for him. And we should think that way for the good, in Ruchnius, that there's no victory too small. I'm telling you, as long as the graph, you know, like in business, as long as it's moving up, don't care that it's only inching up. That's good. As long as it's moving up. If it's moving down, that's not good. If it's stagnant, it's not good. If it's stagnant, it's dangerous. You want it to move up, whether you want it to move up every day or every week or every month or every 6 months or every year. Every person has to answer for themselves when they're ready to go to the next level. But getting back to the bad side, the scary side, he says nothing, you hear what he says? Nothing is too small. No Aveira is too small. Not even an Aveira, maybe. Maybe you won't do a Minhag. And, what, Rob, are you saying that a Minhag is like Yehorag Val Yavar? No, I'm not saying that. But if the way he gets you to skip over a Minhag is by making light of it, not because you have priorities, and maybe the Minhag is not the biggest priority, although a Torah obligation would be, or even a rabbinic obligation, but a minhag, you have other priorities, but that's not Yetzirah. Yetzirah is, it's only a minhag, don't worry. Ah, the next step after only a minhag is, it's only drabbanon, the araisa. And there's some, I once thought I heard someone's aunt's cousin's father tell me that he once heard about a rabbi in Curacao that said it was mutter. And these conversations take place. Curacao, that's where Miri Yeshiva went to. They got I said that a thing the Yetzirah does is he gets you to be makil in even the smallest thing. And I said the smallest thing can even be a minhag. And then I hastened to say that there are definitely priorities in life which will take precedence over a minhag, because a minhag is only a minhag, indeed. But what I'm giving you, like, if you find yourself saying, ah, it's only a minhag, so that's dangerous, and that means the Yetzer Hara has a foot in the door, and he doesn't care how small a battle it is, because if the, ah, it's only a minhag, a few months later, it's, ah, it's only drabbanon. And so many people do it, and I see, women have this with sneers. I mean, it's a never-ending battle. And I see some people walk around like that, and this much hair is showing, and I heard from someone that maybe it's only midrabbanon, or it's only this, or it's only that. And so even a small victory is very dangerous. That's his point. And again, we should learn from this for Yetzer Tov weapons. Kedei shelielo madrega, so that he has a foothold. Mamish, like the Chovas Halodos said in Shara Avodos Elokim about the rungs of a ladder. So here he's on the same rung, same ladder, but he's going down. And he says he doesn't care how small a step you've taken, because he knows that now it's going to be that much easier to go to the next step and to get you to be mezalzel and not so careful. Yeah, I heard you could eat milk after 5.5 hours. Anyway, it's only drabbanon, because I had chicken and not meat. And in Holland, they wait 1 hour. So, like, I'm already the frum one. I'm waiting 6 hours. So I heard that Rabbi Aaron Cutler said 5.5 is enough. And, if you're mentally doing like this, that's Yetzer Hara, and he has you. But he enjoys these victories. He has patience. And I'm telling you, it's the same way on the way up. Savor small victories. You're not going to get your headlines. You're not going to be written up in a newspaper. You're not going to even be able to tell anyone because you're afraid. Uh-oh, that's the Yetzer Hara. Wants me to boast. But you could tell your husbands. I feel a man and wife should be able to share everything, even such victories. That's not called gaiva. That's called sharing. And you want them to know, and maybe they'll be inspired by you. Who knows? The women are always better than the men. I want to quit the shul and become rabbi of the ladies' league. I always say that. Okay. Al kein roi lecha Shatiya nizar mimenu. Be very careful. Va'al tamale mi mishalosecha b'choma uma. Don't give in. Don't say, and we hear this always. I mean, if you have kids, you always hear it, but we say it ourselves too. It's not such a big aveira. It's a small aveira. It's small. So, you know, I'm entitled. I'm entitled to a small aveira. You know, you end up doing this. What am I doing already? It's nothing. It's just a small thing. So he says, "Al tamale mi me'osecha b'chama uma." If you're capable, if you chap what's going on, if you understand what's happening here, don't give in even a little. Rak yigdal be'enecha. Max it out. Maximize it. Say, no. Hashem does not want me to do this. This is not a small thing. It's small in terms of the whole Torah. But, you know, you say, is Hashem going to be pleased with me for doing this? Am I going against Hashem? Am I rebelling against Hashem? Like, who do I think I am? What is the difference how small it is? It's the same rebellion. You know, lesser mitzvahs, so to speak, and more important mitzvahs are true in one aspect of Judaism, a more philosophical one. But in terms of obeying Hashem, of being obedient, of, you know, whose side are you on? I don't know. There's no difference. The Rishonah, the Rashba says this in a tshuva. There's no difference between a plain, ordinary, simple lav, you know, and being Mechal Shabbos. In terms of obeying, you're not listening to Hashem. No difference. So why is there a difference? You'll be asking, if you're thinking. So that's a very heavy question. Because some things are objectively, spiritually more damaging. Just like you could eat not healthy food, and you could eat poison, right? So if you're a child and your parent says don't eat it, don't eat this and don't eat that, so the disobedience is the same. You're not listening to your parent, right? Well, let's say your rov tells you not to do it and you don't listen. So it's the same not listening. It's true. One objectively is poison. There are some averus in the Torah that are spiritually poison mamish, and some averus that are spiritually unhealthy, not necessarily poison. So there's different madregos in mitzvahs. As I said, I called it from a philosophical angle. But in terms of obedience to Hashem, there's no difference. And therefore, I'm giving a suggestion. You could probably think of better ones. When the Chavis Halavah says, build it up. Don't, you know, if the Yitzhak tells you, it's only a minig. It's only the Rabbanon. It's only this one time. Come on, man. Give me a life. Come on. Right? We all fall, by the way. Nobody's perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. I'm talking about when you sense the battle taking place. Right? Now you're mazed. You know what's going on. You feel the dynamic. You feel the struggle. I'm not talking about that we're not perfect. We're imperfect. And what was my example before? We go away without making a bracha achrona. And you say, you know, we're talking about, wait a second, let me make a bracha achrona. But I'm in a rush. It's only the abundant, and I'm not even sure I had a shear. And I'll end up making the bracha without kavana. And then I'll make like Mosi Shem Shemayim Levatala, because I didn't have kavana. I'm just sharing with you all the things I think about. Right? So if you catch yourself, yeah. Why'd the air conditioner go off? That's what I want to know. Yeah.
It's you.
I'm not sure what your question is. How can you tell if something's the Yetzirah or the Yetzirah Tov? It's you. It's the part of you that's looks for pleasure. Well, you know, I'm not answering you correctly. Let me answer you the answer that I said previous weeks. We're learning Shar Yichud Hamaisa. We're learning Shar Yichud Hamaisa. And I said, why is the Kavit HaLodos talking so much about the Yetzirah? Like, you know, Shar Yichud Hamaisa is much loftier than the Yetzirah. If you remember the first few prakim, he was like flying in the sky. He was like, wow, wow. Like, and, but the answer is that at the bottom line, we, and I said that's the difference between Judaism and other religions, the conceptual difference. I know we're right and they're wrong. Okay. The conceptual difference is that we're here to serve Hashem. We're not here to beat the system and get it to rain and get parnosa and have a good time and to enjoy ourselves and not trip over any red lines and not raise any red flags and stay out of harm's way. No, we're here to serve Hashem, do Hashem's will. And that, so it's, you know, it's a simplistic answer, but it's the true one, because, you know, the true answer is when you want to do something and you're not able to honestly tell yourself it's Hashem's will, it's our. That's why he puts this in Shari Yichud HaMaiseh, because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's either Hashem or it's you. Even if you're not doing Averis, you just want a little kavod, you just want a little self-gratification. You, come on, man, you want to just pat yourself on the back. Come on, what do the Chavis HaLovers want from me? So, okay, you know, I'll let you pat yourself on the back. But it's not about us. And on a higher madrega, it's not even about our Olam Haba. Which is, I'm sorry I said that. Like, hey, Rav, I'm going to another religion. It's not even about Olam Haba, it's about serving Hashem. That's really the deal. And we are just very, very lucky that the Pasuk says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimcha, Kiyim Liyiras Hashem Elokecha Lavdo, etc., 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 L'tov Lach. We should be so full of gratitude that the proper understanding is that we had to serve Hashem, but Hashem is made that system because it's in that system that we'll find fulfillment, and L'tov Lach will benefit enormously, will bond with Hashem, will meld with Hashem, will become, our neshamas will have eternal bliss, eternal pleasure, nenen miziv hashchina. You know, I don't know what words to use, those are the words Chazal use, and that's it. So now, that's the answer, that's the best answer I can give you. And everything we're learning are all manifestations of selfishness, of egoism, of me. Everything we're going to be learning about for the next few months probably is all manifestations of, it's not Hashem, it's me. How do you do that? I want to repeat, because the Chavis HaLovers is such a wonderful sefer. It's such a wonderful sefer. You say, but that's so hard, it's so counterintuitive, it's so not anushiyut, it's so not normal. Like, what do you want from me? How am I supposed to do that? I feel a sense of self. That's one of the most basic feelings a person has. I feel me, ego. That's I feel a sense of self, right? The Tanya wants something called bittel, he calls it. He wants you to lose that sense of self. But whether you call it bittel like the Tanya, or you just talk about the Chavis HaLovers Shar Yichud HaMaiseh, that everything you do is to serve Hashem, it really boils down to the same thing. It's just different wordings. How do you do that, man? Like, whoa, is that possible? So the Chavis HaLovers is such a fantastic sefer. I could kiss the sefer. He gives us the way. And we, come on, what is it? What's the word? Come on. To think about what Hashem has done for us. And we'll be so full of gratitude, because every second of the day, there's so much to think about, our minds would explode if we thought about it. And anachnu maspikim lahodos l'cha, Hashem al-kenu v'l'kei v'l'seinu al-achas mei elef alfei alofim v'ribe revavos ponim. And we're learning Chavis HaLovers Sunday night. I always put in a plug. And we're learning Shara Bechina. And he says, there's so much to think about, your mind's going to explode. I'm going to write a perek in Shara Bechina. One little perek. It's actually a big perek. One big perek. And I'm going to take what's easy for you, you, human being. And he starts off with biology and how unbelievable out of body works. And then he just covers that in a few lines. Mamish, a few lines. And I'm trying to make it more than a few lines Sunday nights. And then he says, but then you got to think about a person and how a person has ideals and memory and experiences and parents and the child-parent relationship and like and the fetus and then like and you just think about these things. And then you got to think about the seven things that he said in Perek Dalet of Shaar HaBechina, to think about astronomy and to think about plant life and to think about zoology and to think about history and to think about a and your mind would explode, right? So how much of and you'd be so, and I always say it, if someone saved your life, there is nothing you won't do selflessly for that person. If someone saves your life, saves your child's life, better than your life. Someone just ran into the street, risked their own life, and whisked your child away from an oncoming car. Then they ask you for a drink of water. So you're going to say, oh, I'm too busy now. Or you're going to say, I don't know, what's in it for me, man? What's in it for me? Yeah, that's how we should think about Hashem. That's what and the beauty is that that's what he says in Shaar HaBechina HaLekid, and that's the solution to this problem. The solution is that if we would feel grateful to Hashem for everything that he does for us, which includes right now, there's like 2 billion things going on by me, because my mind's working, and there's like thousands and millions of electrical impulses. And my memory is working, because if I would lose my memory, I would forget by the end of the sentence what I wanted to say, which happens sometimes. When I'm really, really tired, it stops working, I shut down, which is also a chesed Hashem, because if you wouldn't get tired, you would injure yourself, you would injure your body. Pain is a chesed Hashem. Tiredness is a chesed Hashem. Hunger is a chesed Hashem. But and there's like and my hands are moving and because of muscles and tendons and ligaments, and meanwhile the blood is sending the nutrients that every single cell of the billions of cells in the body, it needs different nutrients. We saw the Marshall Sunday night, like, okay, you know, the postman loses a letter on an average of once every 3 days, right? Or he delivers it to the wrong address, and here it is, thousands of different nutrients in the same pipeline, oil, water, milk, that's just the marshal, and they're not mixing, and different nutrients, and it's taken away the garbage, remember that? And if we would learn Shaar HaBechina and think about these things and say Hashem did this all chesed, meitiv, and powerful, we would feel at least as grateful as that person that ran into the street and snatched my child away from the oncoming car. And so who's going to think about kavod and what's in it for me and what am I going to gain out of it, and I'm too busy now, Hashem, come back tomorrow? It's absurd. Mamash absurd. That's why the Chayit HaLovus puts at his home base. First comes Shaar HaYichud, because if you don't believe there's a Hashem, then you're not going to be able to do Shaar HaBechina, right? If it's all just... And then he does Shaar HaBechina second. The first step after just pure belief in Hashem is thank you, Hashem. And then comes Shaar HaVodas Elokim. Because what do you do with this gratitude? Hashem says, you know, and the irony is, the super duper irony, is that person that's asking you for a glass of water, after he saved your child's life, he's asking it to you because he's thirsty. Hashem is not thirsty. Hashem doesn't need a glass of water. He's asking us for a glass of water so that we have a way of expressing gratitude. Because if anybody in this room has been in a position where you're just suffused with gratitude to someone, you know that it's true, that the biggest favor they can do for you is to tell you how to express your gratitude. Because you're bursting. You don't know what to do. I gave a lunch with my sister, right? My son lived by her for a couple of years. What am I going to do? Like, I'm some dining room chairs. What do I... Tell
tell me something, tell me anything. You want to tell me something, and you're bursting, and you don't know what you can do for them. So Hashem tells us, I want you to eat kosher, a couple of things that are not hard, not really hard, but I want them. And the Chavis Halavus, it's an amazing sefer. If you listen to shofar and you don't eat milchiks and fleishiks, not out of gratitude to Hashem, you're not serving Hashem in the ideal way. If you do it robotically, or you do it because of schar v'onesh, it's good. Don't get the wrong idea, please. Don't walk out here and say, the Rav said that we could eat basar b'chalav, it's okay. It's not okay, but the real way to do it, and it's so hard, nobody thinks like this. Chavis Halavus is a chiddush, but it's an early sefer. I remind you, he lived before Rashi. He lived before the Rambam. He lived way before the Shulchan Aruch and the Mesillas Yesharim. And this is the Bible, man. And just try. It's hard. Next time, you take challah. It's easy with challah, because challah is like, you can extrapolate. Hashem gave me bread, but he gave me challah. He gave me a house, and he gave me a family. And he lost this little piece of dough. But I don't know how to get rid of it. Rabbi Milanowitz, what am I doing with it? Help. Okay, that's another problem. Okay, that's the curse of Haredi Jewry. It's called you can't win. No matter what you do, there's a shita that you're wrong. Okay, that's why you need a Rav. And you think the Rav knows. The Rav flips a coin. You know? But he doesn't tell you that. So he answers you. So that's why it is possible. So the answer to your question is, if you're serving yourself or serving Hashem. And it's much, much harder than that flippant phrase. Because we all have egos, and we all have... But the Chavis Halavus gives us the Eitzah. Because if you've ever been in that situation, you know it's true. I don't go to Shalom Zocha tonight, or the Chasana. It's late, I'm tired, my kids are sleeping, I gotta get up early tomorrow, I'm the schlep, I'm gonna sit in traffic, they're barely gonna see me, what am I going for? Maybe the air conditioner's not gonna be working, it's so hot outside, I didn't set my shaitel in 6 months, somebody might see me and I'm wearing the same dress I wore a year ago, and it's terrible. And then you say, oh, but that person tutored my child when they needed a tutor. Oh, remember 2 years ago, I thought my child would fail Chumash or math or whatever. And they tutored my child for 4 weeks. And all of a sudden, you lose your tiredness. You lose your fear of the shaitel. You lose everything. And you go to the chasana because you just want to say mazel tov to them, because you figured out a way that you can say thank you to them. That's all it takes. You lose all the yetzaharas, falls away when you think of your... You want to express your gratitude to them. Hashem does so... And it's true what I said. And Hashem, if you think about it, is like laughable, right? What Hashem does for us vis-a-vis tutoring a child for a month, right? So... We're tired and that, but okay, stop here.